Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Beautiful, mashallah, Wednesday, Tuesday morning on our program, The Bliss of Marriage. My name is Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia. On this beautiful, mashallah, Tuesday morning. And of course, we welcome our beloved engineer, none other than Brother Tobella. And we welcome, of course, our beloved Honorable Fadilatul Ustad, who will be joining us shortly, inshallah, for our program every Tuesdays between 11 to 12, and every Wednesdays between 11 to 12, The Bliss of Marriage. Remember, our WhatsApp number is 084-786-3132, 084-786-3132. Overseas listeners, +27847863132. Let's welcome the listeners of Sirius FM. Let's welcome the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And of course, let's welcome our beloved, honorable, respected Fadilatul Ustad, Hazrat Mulana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein Hafidhahullah. Ustad, welcome to the program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum Arafat. Jazakumullahu khairan.
Somebody says, yeah, Ustaz, that I would like to know what can be read after marriage to incur the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ustaz.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before I respond to the question, we must thank our Maulana Zahid Khan. MashaAllah, whilst Maulana was on leave, he was doing this program. Almighty Allah reward him. Second, for those of you who are still not aware, today is the first of Jumad al-Ukhra, 1443. MashaAllah, by moon, new moon, crescent was sighted there in Khroblersworth, that is near Uppington in the Northern Cape, by Maulana Masood Parker, his brother Zubair Parker. So Almighty Allah reward them. And read the Sunnat Masnoon Dua, Allahu Akbar, Hilalu Khairin wa Rushdin. O Almighty Allah, make this month of Jumad al-Ukhra a month of Khair and goodness, wa Rushdin, and a month of righteousness. And third one, remember that we must welcome all the listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. InshaAllah, what I will do is, once Bliss of Marriage is finished, my brother Tobella will prepare the podcast and the program that Maulana Zahid had with Maulana Muhammad Twala. So we'll prepare, we'll send out all the podcasts together, inshallah al-Aziz. Now you are married, my brother, and now you want to enhance your marriage. So what are you going to do? So it starts already the same day. So your nikah is performed today. So after the nikah, when the people come to wish you well, so for you, the men will go to the groom, the women will go to the bride, and what will they say? Barakallahu lak, wa barakallahu alaik, wa jama'a baynakuma fil khair. May Allah grant you barakah, blessing from all sides and directions, and may Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala give you barakah, keep you in goodness all the time. Wa jama'a, to keep the two of you together in khair, in goodness. So powerful, beautiful dua mentioned in Abu Dawood. Second, your wedding night. So now today you got married, so what you going to do tonight when you're alone? So you, the husband, you must be in front and the wife at the back. You will give the iqamah, that is the husband, and then you read Surah Fatiha, short Surah, Qul huwal falaq, Qul bin nas, after Surah Fatiha, first rakat, Surah Falaq or Surah Nas in the second rakat, and or any other Surah, I'm just giving examples. And thereafter, you take water and you sprinkle on your wife's forehead, four locks and so forth. She will do the same, and you beg Allah for protection from shaitan. So both of you will do that on one another. And then the third one, you, the husband, give your wife another gift beside the mahar and the marital gift. And thereafter you read the dua. Remember, today our people, 90%, 70% complaining our children are disrespectful, disobedient. But when husband goes to wife, wife comes to husband, then you find that the last thing on their mind are these du'as, and this du'a is in Bukhari Sharif. Bismillahi jannibna shaitana. Ya Allah, put the Satan, Shaitan, Lucifer far, far away from us. Wa jannibi shaitana ma zaktana, and put the Shaitan far, far away from the awlad and offspring and children you're going to bless us with. Then every day husband and wife read Surah 25 verse 74. Rabbana هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين. Oh Allah, grant us our spouses and children that are the coolness of the eyes. Read Ya Wadudu, Ya Wadudu, Ya Wadud. Allah is the creator of love. Allahumma alif bayna qulubina. Ya Allah, bring the mahabba, the mawadda, the love within our hearts. It's not marriage is bedroom and bathroom. Nay, marriage is the bodies must meet, the hearts must meet, there must be unity of thought. Both husband, wife going in the same direction. If you're going to go in opposite direction, there'll be conflict, rows, ructions all the time, and that would be a disaster. So these are the few things you must remember, and try and give out some charity daily, one rand, two rand, whatever it is. Allah Jalla Wala special mercy will come, your house will become a home, your home will become Darussalam, a home of peace, tranquility, serenity, and harmony.
Somebody says, Ustad, from Lodium, that is dreams that make ghusl wajib good. Ustad, anonymous.
Remember, yeah, there are four or five different issues. Which is the truest dream? Hadith in Mishkat Sharif, Asdaqul Ru'ya bil Ashar. The most truest of dream, the best dream, is suhoor time. Nowadays, 2, 3 o'clock, 3:30, like that. So that will be the best dream. Second one is this, if you are dreaming every day, second day, third day, that you are having ihtilam, you are having a wet dream and so forth, so that is from shaitan. So the shaitan is troubling you and so forth. So what you should do is this, that then you should be the one, you should get married immediately as soon as possible. Or you must remember, if you can't afford it or there are some obstacles, then start fasting every twice a week, thrice a week, every second day, so may Dawood. So that is what you must do. So to have excessive dreams like this, that is ihtilam, wet dreams and so forth, that is from Satan and Shaitan, not good that is. So read Ayatul Kursi, read the four quls, all that before you sleep. Third one, Mustafa Rahmatulil Alameen Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Ru'ya, dreams that you get are three types. One is Bushra Bisharat, you see the Baytullah, Kaaba Musharrafa, Masjid Nabawi, Masjidul Aqsa. So it means, inshallah, one day you will go there, rather sooner than later. One is tahdithun nafs. You see these youngsters, they say they're making istikhara. So the whole day is making tasbih Fatima. Not subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allah Akbar. You say Fatima, 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 Fatima. So of course you must see Fatima. Then what you going to see? So that is your psychological way of thinking. You see, that is now you dreaming. You the boy, so you think of Fatima. You the girl, she think of Abdullah, Abdullah, Abdullah. You see, my dream is istikhara. Sikhara came out very good. So it must come out good, because all day you're obsessed with him. So that, you must remember, is your psychological mind. Third one is Tahwifu Shaitan. You see somebody coming with the AK-47 with a big sword. He wants to circumcise you. He wants to blow your brain box away and your head. So that is the Satan, the Shaitan. He's a terrorist. So these are the three types of dream. And remember the last one. La tuhaddis illa habiban aw labiba. Beautiful words. When you see a dream, don't go tell harkas wa nakas, kullu man habba wa dabba. That's Arabic and Urdu. English, don't go and tell every Tom, Dick and Harry or every Tom, Dick and Mary. So go and tell people who you have confidence in, or the intellectual, they'll give you good advice. So remember, today we just see a dream, we start broadcasting it everywhere. No. So be very careful about these type of issues, and Allah will protect us, inshallah.
So, Ustaz, is it permissible for a child to break up relationship with her mother and her granny if the mother and the granny are wanting to break up her marriage, Ustaz?
You must remember that in normal circumstances, normal, you must underscore, underline that. So, for a granny or a mother to break the marriage of the children, grandchildren, all that haram. For the children, grandchildren to sever ties with the mother, with the parents, or with the grandparents, normal circumstances, all haram. Chapter 47, Surah Muhammad, verses 22-23. Write down again. Chapter 47, Surah Muhammad, the surah entitled, named after the Master, Mustafa Habibuna, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Verses 22-23, in tawalli, when you have authority, and tufsidu fil ard, you cause mischief, mayhem, chaos on this earth, wa tuqatti'u arhamakum, and you sever the family ties. So that is what must not happen. So in a case like that, now we come to your question specifically. You are claiming and alleging and saying that your mother, your nanima, your mother's mother, your grandmother, maternal grandma, they want to break your marriage. But why? Why are they doing that? It's not something normal. There must be a reason. So let's say that they are not justified. Then you must never listen to them. You must stay with your wife and everything. But if your wife is a Shia or she's a Qadiani, someone with corrupted beliefs, and that's why they are telling you, then it's right what they are telling you. So we must know the facts, and then we can give the advices accordingly. Next one, what must your response be? You must always go and keep ties with your mother, with your grandmother. Sil man qata'ak, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the people who sever ties with you, you must join ties with them. Then Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about parents and said, you the children, you must always keep ties with them. And see what Rahmatulil Alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَإِنْ ظَلَمَا وَإِنْ ظَلَمَا وَإِنْ ظَلَمَا thrice. Open Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmed. Even if the father, mother, both are wrong, one of them is wrong, you son, you daughter, you grandchild, you must still keep ties with them. Yes, you can curtail ties, but you can't sever ties with them. So that would not be permissible.
Somebody says, you start that... Mufti Sahab said that when I am staying with my three daughters while I am living, I can give more to my daughters. Must I tell my sons, or I don't have to, because I don't want them to have ill feelings for one another, Ustad?
You see, when you do selective quoting, so that is what happens. How you are saying, I never said that. Let me tell you and repeat what I said. You must remember this. Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the hadith in Sahih Muslim, Wattaqullah wa'adilu bayna awladikum, that fear Almighty Allah jalla wa'ala and do justice amongst your children. So you are a man of substance, you got 5 million, 10 million, 20 million, Allah alone knows. So now you have three daughters and you got one son, three sons, whatever. Now one son is involved in drugs. One son is busy by the casino day and night and so forth. So you are worried what's going to happen. So in a case like that, we say that call your daughters and the one son who's good or whatever, and you start giving them assets during your lifetime. So remember, they take possession of it, no conditions from your side, and you give it to them as a gift. That son who is addicted to the alcohol or to drugs or to gambling and casinos, you don't give him anything. So if he complains, you must tell him, yes, we're depriving you in this world now, although you must inherit after I die. But we want you to change your life for the better. So in that case there won't be any problem and permissible. But remember, when you die and pass away, then the ratio comes 2-1. That becomes effective. And whilst you are giving during your lifetime, then you give equally to sons and daughters. So that is the ideal utopian solution. However, if one daughter is married to a big pilot, another one lawyer, another one Maulana. So now obviously the Maulana's wages won't be so much. So if you're going to give that daughter more, not based on favoritism, but based on necessity and need, so all that would be permissible and acceptable. So Islam wants justice across the board, but it must not be brazen favoritism.
See, Mufti Saab, I was in a relationship with a girl I met in Turkey. She has excellent Islamic qualities. We spoke for 2 years. And I asked her to tell her parents I want to propose to marry her. Mufti Saab, she did, and they refused due to me being South African and said she must stop all contact or they will disown her. Should I purge the matter or let each other go our own ways? Anonymous brother Ustad.
How she can be so good a Muslim lady if behind her parents' back she's contacting you and all this type of thing? All that is haram. Quran Kareem states, وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشًا. Do not even go near fornication and adultery, because that is something obscene. That is something indecent. So therefore, you can't come tell me, no, she's a very good, pious lady and so forth. So that is the figment of your imagination. You want to believe she's very pious and so forth. But remember, when she's involved like this with you, so that is unacceptable. Go read chapter 17, Surah Bani Israel, and verse number 32. So chapter 17 and verse 32, and you will find your answer. So you must just forget her, and there's nothing to pursue. Her parents are not interested, so they say, go look for local Islekka. Don't come trouble us here for the Turkish delight. So you see, my brother, so you go now, there are many fish in the sea. So go look for someone else, and end of the story. You see history, you carry on with your geography.
The Prophet asked, must he read istikhara, Ustad?
No istikhara, finish now, end of the story.
Somebody says, Ustad, that I am a South African also, currently working in Saudi Arabia, and I would like to go on a hajj this year, dear Mufti Saab. The problem is that I don't have a mahram with me. My sister and her husband will be coming for hajj, and I would like to know if it is possible for me to join them. Would my sister's husband act as my mahram, dear Mufti Saab? They're very, very strict indeed.
You must remember, I'm amazed that you already think of that. Will South Africans and foreigners be allowed to go for Hajj? You know, 2020, they didn't allow any foreigners. 2021, they didn't allow foreigners. It was only locals. 2022, Allah alone knows what they will decide and so forth. You know, the government there, majority of them are non-Muslim. We speak about the government. And the decisions they make, they have to ask Israel and America and all that. We all know what is really happening there. So, wait and see what happens and so forth. So, let's break it down in their different categories. And for you, you are in Riyadh, you are in Dammam, you are in Abha, or wherever you are. So, if you follow in the Shafi'i and Maliki school, Listen carefully to what I'm saying. So you don't confuse issues and you don't blow your fuses. So if you are following the Shafi'i school or the Maliki school and it is a farz hajj upon you, not nafil hajj, and you can't find a mahram, then remember you go ma'a jama'atin nisa'i thiqat, with the group of ladies who are reliable for a farz hajj. So that concession that they give permission, who? The Shafi'is and the Malikis only. The Hanafis and the Hanbalis say no, not permissible. Even if it is a farz hajj, you must write it in your will, leave the money 50, 60, 70, 80, 90,000 rand, and say XYZ person must perform hajj and so forth. If you don't perform your hajj in your lifetime and so forth, maybe you get married or whatever the situation is. That's one. Number two, so Shafi'is and Malikis will say permissible, Hanafis and Hanbalis not permissible. Number two, let's say they allow foreigners and your sister and her husband comes, can you go with them? It's haram for you. How you can go with them? So he's not your mahram. You are an ajnabiyya to him. You are a total stranger to him. Your sister passes away, so he can marry you. So you must remember, you got nothing to do with him. He's got nothing to do with you. So therefore, sister, take that option out of your head. So if you want to go, then either that if you are following the Shafi'i Maliki school, then you go. And Hanafis and Hanbalis say, no, not permissible.
I see there's a Hafiz Abu Stad. He says that he's 17 years old and he finished his hifz last year, Ustad. But the problem is that he likes his Ustad's daughter, dear Mufti Sab. He wants to know, he's 17 and she's 16. Dear Mufti Sab, what do we do? I approach a Mufti. The Mufti says, make nikah now so you don't commit haram. And after 5, 6, 7 years, you can get together, Ustad.
Now you, just now we'll come to what Mufti Sahab said and whatever the Maulana said. Let's go step by step. So you were studying by Hafiz Sahab, right? That's your teacher. He's teaching you hifz. But what I want to know, first question, how strong is your Quran? Because to me, somehow, I get the perception and impression that you were studying his daughter more than you studying the Quran. So you must remember, and that Hafsab also was not strict. That daughter used to come now and then in front of you, or you also winking eye with her, maybe just touch her hand and so forth. Allah alone knows what happened behind the scenes, you know. So all these things, so that's one. So your priority number one now is to make sure you must make your Quran Sharif solid. Not that you make now get married and the Quran is kacha and you forget it. That will be a big problem for you. So that's number one. Number two, what did Maulana Mufti Sahab said, get married now and after 5, 6 years you're going to take away and all that. So what you're going to do in that day and when to fulfill your lust and desires? You're going to cut potatoes or what? So you must remember this type of stuff. That's not the option. That's not practical. How can that be? So what you must do is this, that you must discuss with your parents. If they are happy, they prepare to help you, financially assist you, then you can think about it. Then you must approach that Qarisa, that Hafizab himself, and with your father, mother and them, go there and say that, you know what, we're thinking of getting married or whatever this, that. And, you know, ask you, that if I give my daughter to you, then what happens? Who, how you will sustain her, maintain her? So you must be ready. That's second one. Third one, if you want my advice, you must remember, then both of you are nadan, both of you are wet behind your ears, and this type of things, so there's no need for you to get married now immediately. You must start fasting, you must make your Quran solid, and she is also just infatuated with you, because now you used to bring some present for her when her father wasn't looking, and winking eye with her, and so forth and so on. So that is my advice. Dad, forget this whole story now, and after Ramadan or something, see, are you prepared? From today till Ramadan, exactly 3 months. How many months, Abhisab? 3 months. Jumad al-Ukhra, Rajab, Shaban. So 3 months. So you must prove yourself you're a Hafiz. When people come and say that I'm Hafiz, I say, now you stand there. I'm going to ask you, can you read 20 rakats Tarawih alone? Then already they start looking down and their huzu break. So I say, what kind of hafiz you are then? So you must remember this kind of thing. He say, no, the last quarter is little bit cut you. Then that Jews day, the first quarter is little bit cut you. So hafiz sir, from I don't know you, I don't know your ustad. I'm giving you advice. If you're going to do it now, alhamdulillah, and then go and read Taraweeh where you get the maximum rakats. Then you doing something solid in your life. Then you negotiate Ramadan time, you cry, beg Allah, Jalla Wala, and so forth. Then inshallah things will happen. But you're not getting your priorities right. Now instead of paying, focusing attention to the Quran, you're thinking of Hafsab's daughter. So that is what your big problem. So take that away. Whenever her thought comes, say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. You know that one story. You like stories. So the one wife asked the husband, oh darling, oh hubby, you ever see me? And the husband asked the wife. Oh, the husband said, the wife, oh poppy, oh sweetheart, you ever saw me in the dream? So wife said, never, I never see you in the dream. So the husband was a little bit disappointed. So he asked her, but how come you don't see? So she said, you know what, before I sleep, I always read Ayatul Kursi. And if you read Ayatul Kursi, then no shaitan will trouble you. So therefore, I don't see you in a dream. So you must read like that. Ayatul Kursi, A'udhu Billah, then nothing will trouble you also.
28 minutes to 12 o'clock. I see Hafizab is having a good laugh to start. He says, Jim Muftisab, I will take your advice. My weakest part is from 24 to para 30, Ustad.
Yeah, because you ended that. Your life, our last 5-6 paras are cut you. That's why I'm giving you advice, because that was your last paras. You never did sabak door properly. You never did door properly. So now start that 30, we got 3 months now, 90 days, 85 days, whatever. So read that paras twice, thrice a day and make it solid like that and read it to somebody. Not on your own, so go read it to somebody and then rectify it and make it solid. Not only the last 5-6, the last 10 you must start from 21 to 29, right? Amma, you know. So from 21 to 29, make that 100% solid. Allah make easy there.
Nanima says, dear Muftisab, that better, my granddaughter, she's going through a divorce at the moment while I'm listening to you. Please, dear Muftisab, make dua for her. She gets so much of hiding from this chap, but we don't know what to do. Kunkarwano, Nanima Ustad.
Nanima, we don't know all the facts, but be that as it may, for any husband to beat up and assault his wife, don't waste time with me, with the Jamiats and this group and that group. You take that daughter, granddaughter, Nanima of your people, and bring her back immediately. And then go to the police station and charge him for wife assault, battering of the wife and assault. Every charge you can put, you must put there. Because today, the police, we all know that how majority of them are corrupt and a lot of things happen. So we all know what happened there in the parliament and all that. So leave all that. But at least there's one charge they take up it serious. And that is, you must remember, their gender violence, you see. So when the husband beats up his wife, or the boyfriend in their culture, non-Muslim culture, the boyfriend assaults his wife, girlfriend, and so, we all know it's haram. But remember that, so that is my advice. Never will Islam say that the wife must be made a boxing bag, and the husband must keep on hitting her. That is totally, absolutely haram, and not permissible. So you parents, you must intervene immediately if what you are saying is true, that you and lay a charge against him. Remember, steer home strong too. So send him straight to prison, and then there in the jail, they'll panel beat him nicely after that. Then he'll come out properly like a proper miswak and a nice stick also.
But Muftisab, last Ramadan, I saw an amal for nikah going around to be read on the 12th night of Ramadan. I saw two slightly different versions and was wondering which is the correct version, if any, or are both versions baseless, Ustad?
So, brother, I think the versions are complicating you regarding the versions also. So, anyway, my brother, none of this is in Quran Sharif. None of this is in authentic hadith and that. What is this? You see, some pious person, he saw a dream or he tried something. You call that amal Ahlu Salihin. What you will say in your terminology, some Buzruk said this, some pious person said this. So we must, it's compulsory, draw a distinction with what Quran is saying. The Quran Sharif is the direct speech of Almighty Allah. The Ahadith Mubarakah, the Sunnah Mubarakah are the Mubarak blessed actions and speech of the Master alayhi salatu wasalam. And remember, this is Amalul Awliya. So some pious people did this. So what you are saying, so is that on the 12th night do this, somebody will say 14th night do this, somebody will say do this. So all that got no basis in Islam as far as Wahi goes. Is not what Allah said, Jalla Wala. Is not what Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. It is just what you call an experiment. You understood? So people just experiment something. So sometimes it works out, sometimes it don't work out. But don't attach too much importance to it. Rather you do what Quran Sharif and Sunnah Mubarakah teaches us. From now you start. Every day 2 rakat salat. Read Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun. Allah will give you good wife. And now you can start fixing things up. You propose this, that Ramadan will come. And after Ramadan, in Shawwal, you get married. Subhanallah, the best month to get married is Shawwal. Open Tirmidhi Sharif. Inna Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tazawwaja bi fi Shawwal. Mother Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha states, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married me during the month of Shawwal. Mullah Ali Qari, those of you interested in Afghanistan, Mullah Ali Qari was from Herat. Herat is there in Afghanistan. When there was political turmoil, he left and he went to Makkah, a great, outstanding, prominent Hanafi scholar. So many things he did and so many books he wrote. So he wrote the commentary of Mishkat Sharif as well. So there he mentions Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu, and he's buried there in Makkah also in Mu'alla. So remember that Mullah Ali Qari wrote Mustafa Rahmatul Alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got married to Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha on the 10th of Shawwal. So that is what you should be aiming for, all you youngsters and suitors and shooters. Some of you are suitors, you really want to get married. Some of you are shooters, you just want to see more women kali kali and play fools. So that is haram and not permissible.
Well said, Ustad. Second last question before we go for an ad break, Ustad. Somebody says, dear Mufti Sahab, when should the last 2 nafil of Isha be read? Before the witr or after? Ustad?
Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's authentic hadith mentioned in Sahih Muslim, Ij'alu akhira salatikum bil layli witra. Make your last salat of the night the witr salat. So remember, that was the adat sharifa, that was the adat mubarakah, the noble habit of the Master alayhi salam. But occasionally, 2 times, 3 times, few times, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read 2 rakats after the witr salat libayanil jawaz, to show that also is permissible. But preferred is to read all the nafil salat, voluntary salat, before the witr salat. So you want to read tahajjud, you want to read voluntary salat, all that before sleeping. So read all that and then you read witr and then you go retire. Allah Jalla Wala give tawfiq. Nowadays you wake up 2:30, 3 o'clock for example, and you read 2 rakat, 4 rakat, 6, 8 rakat, and thereafter you did witr. So that was the normal habit of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You want an academic discussion on this? Go open Sahih Muslim, the commentary by Allama Nawawi rahimahullah Minhaj. You will find a wonderful academic discussion there.
I see there's a group of youngsters who are listening to us right now, and they pose a question asking that Mufti Sahab, please just tell us if you and Maulana Arafat, you guys took the vaccine, yes or no? Because there's rumors going around that both of you took the vaccine, Ustad.
Yeah, the shaitan will tell you a lot of things. So what must I be frightened for anybody or so? It's haram to take vaccine. So for the answer tells you itself. So I tell everybody and I must go and take. So use your common sense. Wallahi, I never took the vaccine. Are you happy now? So see, when you get a little bit famous, you must remember this, you are still youngsters in life, still wet behind your ears, you know. So you must remember this, when you get famous and that, then you get Hasidin and Haqidin. Hasidin, you get those who are jealous and envious. And you get Haqidin, those who are burning. They don't know what to do, because we corner them everywhere. You see, with Allah's help and Allah's... So then, what did they do? Make propaganda, make lies, you see. He did this, he did this, he did this. So if he did that, give us evidence. So you must remember this type of things here. So all lies, fabrication. So we don't fear anybody with Allah's help. We will tell you without fear and favor.
20 minutes to 12 o'clock. I love that answer, Ustad. Hasidin and Haqidin. Let's go for an air break. When we come back, we will inshallah continue with the bliss of marriage. Don't go away. Stay tuned.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahle Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Well, it's exactly now 19 minutes to 12. You are tuning in, you are listening to The Bliss of Marriage, 0847863132. That's our WhatsApp number. International overseas listeners, +2 784 786 3132. Someone says, Ustad, what to do to find a suitable partner? When you hear of a partner, do you make istikhara to follow through if it will be a suitable partner or not? Or do you first meet the family and propose partner and then make istikhara, Ustad?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. See, that if you like a certain girl and you know that their aqidah, their belief structure is correct, they belong to the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and then you go there and with the parents' permission, not you just meet her in the mall or somewhere, that is haram, all that. So you meet her, that meaning meet her means you see her, and her father, her brother, uncle, somebody has to be there. You can't be alone with her. And thereafter, if you say, no, I really want this girl, then you don't need no istikhara, no nothing. Allah's mercy, Allah's help, Allah's benevolence, we got married, no istikhara, nothing. We just saw and told her that next day we get married, you understand, or next week or next month we got married, and that's what happened. So the point I'm making here is this. Now today we got lot of, you know, rigmarole, long stories we got. So now the boy sees the girl, then in their head is, no, we must make istikhara. There's no must about it. You make istikhara if you got doubt, you make istikhara if you want more confirmation and so forth. So there's no problem. Ma khaba man istikhara. The person who make istikhara, inshallah, he won't be a failure. So that's the point there. And make mashura and so forth. So remember that main thing is this. She must be happy. Her parents and them must be happy. You are happy. And remember that you must clarify all these issues. These become all the burning points and the points of conflict. So you must be forthright and clear. Okay, I will marry you. And tell them before they start asking, if I marry you, then the separate accommodation, separate house, separate flat, whatever does that. So in that way, you must be clear with them and so forth. Not that you lie to them and we promise this, then they get married, say, no, they're still building the house and the outbuilding is not ready, the tiles are not ready. So all this causes friction, problems from the start, the marriage starts on the negative. They just need one, two arguments between daughter-in-law, mother-in-law, then it's Skopski and donor after that. Then the whole fun of marriage, all that is turned sour already. So that's why all of you, you'll need to understand these issues. MashaAllah, if the mother-in-law, she's a very good lady, she's a taqiyya, that's a very beautiful name to keep for your daughter, taqiyya, a lady with taqwa, piety, and she tells the daughter, you stay here and I promise you I will treat you better than my own daughter. Then you look and see, mashallah, that she had other one, two, three daughter-in-laws, and each one told her, you will never find another mother-in-law like that. So subhanallah, so go for it in a case like that. But most cases we know is not like that. We also must be practical and pragmatic. So in a case like that, so therefore you must clarify all these issues. Don't leave things hanging in the air. That's where a lot of problems come about then.
Listener says, Hazrat Maulana Sahib, we are at work enjoying the program, Mufti Sahib and Maulana. My colleague wants to know, what can I do to find a suitable second wife? Ustad, anonymous.
You can't look after one wife properly, and now you want to go second wife. I was in Maputo. So there, the person I stayed by, so brother Muhammad Hanif, his father's name, Usman Sabur. Haji Usman Sabur passed away on a Friday. He was 86 years old, plus minus. Lo and behold, he had four wives. He had 25 children. And he had 104 grandchildren, and he knew all their names. So everybody used to say, Sabur, Sabur. So the name became Sabur, you see. So if you're a man like that, then it's different. Waliullah, you see. So you, my brother, Allah created us as the masterpiece of His creation. The same Allah who created us tells us in the Quran Sharif, Surah 4, that is Surah Nisa, chapter 4, verse number 3, فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُ, that if you fear, you can't do justice with your two wives, three wives, four wives, فَوَاحِدَ, you must stick to one wife only. So one talk, that same host of mine, Muhammad Hanif Ba, so he told me, I told him that story. He said, you must tell the story in the bayan, in front of all the students and all the ulama. I said, fine. So I said in Maimon also, but now time now. So I said, Ba, to be bairi ganne, ta tu sa wako vari vanne. So if you could take second wife, now you are in qiyam, you're standing. You take second wife, you go into ruku. You see? Like that. Then you take third wife, you go into sajda. When you take fourth wife, you make salam, then finish. Janaza namaz, then finish. You can't look after one wife, you're talking about second wife and all this time. You'll do justice, I'm asking you. So you don't know what it is, my brother, that you're going to go to your new wife, kullu jadidin ladiz, say, oh, everything new is shining, shining. Then when you get sick and that, she'll be busy with the mascara, her makeup, this, that. Then the old wife will still worry about the zembak and all these things there. So just stay with your old wife, old is gold, brother. That's my advice to you.
There's a youngster who starts saying that, oh, dear Mufti Sahib, why is Mufti Sahib totally against jihad? We wanted to go and fight in India against Modi, you stopped us. And now we wanted to go to Aksa and marry the sisters there, you stopped us. Why is Mufti Sahib against jihad, Ustad?
We're not against jihad. If the crew come to you with a water pistol, your wuzu will break. That's your halat. You'll just talk too much. You don't understand? So we want to make jihad, I am asking you, you five youngsters, now 4 weeks, 3 weeks past of the holiday, did you read your five daily salat, your jamaat daily? How many times you must salat?
No.
If you can't read salat on time with jamaat, and you tell me you want to go in jihad to take the Indian army on, to take the Jutla army on, they will hang you up and finish you up in one round. You must remember that. Jihad got many manifestations and many dimensions, my brother. So if you understand business, finance, economics, you have a holding company. The holding company is on top, and then you have subsidiaries. What I'm doing now, yeah, is jihad. I speak against Saudi Arabia, is jihad. I speak against Modi and company, is jihad. I speak against the Jutlas and against the Jews there in Palestine, occupied, is jihad. So jihad got many dimensions, but your people's understanding of jihad is one narrow understanding. We will go and shoot some Jews. We will go and shoot some Hindus. You think this is a joke? So you must remember that if they capture you, does that, you don't mind gun. With the water pistol, they'll finish you up. So therefore, Islam teaches us we have to learn to do our duty with beauty. That is what we are telling you. So you first sort things out yourself and then talk about jihad and all that.
Ustad, I don't know, Ustad, if I understand the question. It says, I have a serious dilemma. I don't know what to do. I got myself into a fix. My mother passed away 5 years ago. My father has remarried. He married someone 3 years older than me. Now she is young and beautiful, and we get along very well, dear Mufti Sahib. She is kind and caring, but recently I started having feelings for her. I can't stop thinking about her, and I dream about her. and I see my father is starting to take notice. What do I do, Ustad? I know it's wrong.
First thing, you have to move out from that house. You can't be staying there because your father is 60 years old, 70 years old. He has old marnikotini. He is old but not cold, you see. So now he got a young wife there. She's 30, 35 years old. You 29, 30, 32 years old. So when you look at her, you're not looking at her as a stepmother, as your father's wife. وَلَا تَنْكِحُوا مَا نَكَحَ آبَاؤُكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. You can never ever marry the lady whom your father married. Even if your father passes away and then this iddat and after that, then also you can't marry her. She's perpetually haram upon you. But now, that is in Surah 4 and verse number 22 of the Noble Quran. Now for you, Shaitan is coming. And what he's doing? وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. Shaitan is embellishing, adorning, and telling her, but she's very good, and she speaks to me also so kind and all. She don't have all this in her mind. You, the shaitan, is getting hold of you. So for you, you better move out immediately from that house there before you cause damage to your father's reputation and you cause damage to your stepmother and so forth. And remember, you meet your father, everything, when his workplace or whatever, make his khidmat, everything. But for you and that lady to be alone is not permissible when you already having all these type of feelings for her by your own admission and your own confession. So therefore in Islam, da'ama yuribuka ila ma la yuribuk, doesn't only work for eating, drinking, it works across the board and spectrum. Leave that which places you in doubt and opt for that in which there's no doubt. You see, today the shaitan, father-in-law finds daughter-in-law alone in the house. Say, I to go hari lage. You see, this one looks very nice. And then what happens? We know so many incidents. So remember, brother, this is already, the red lights are burning. So better move out immediately. And you get married if you're not married. Because just now you start parking in the loading zone and there's big problems there.
Ustad, my wife and mother don't get along at all. My mother is alone. And I want to bring her home under one roof, but I'm very, very scared. Can I send her to an old age home to save the marriage, Ustad?
So you must remember that when you say your mother and your wife don't get along, so what is surprising? That is everywhere in the world. So you must remember 70-80% that happens. So this was surprising. Now see what you want to do. What you are suggesting is total shaitaniyat. You are going the slave of Lucifer. So Satan, shaitan in English, they call Lucifer. So now go dump her in the old age home. Have you got any common sense, you, my brother? So why you don't do this? That where your mother is, if there's no other son, there's no other daughter, nobody prepared to look after her. And you know, if you're going to put your mother with your wife, then your wife will make pack up and go away. So you build a granny flat, you build an outbuilding, you buy another house or whatever, or rent a house that is not near, that is not far away from your house, but near your house. She has her own bedroom, own bathroom, own kitchen, everything. And then you get one lady, you understand, mama, to look after her and so forth, and you go visit her and make her khidmat every day. So your marriage will be saved, and mother will also know that this son became a true loyal son. And you go dump her in the old age home, then she's going to curse you every day. And remember, once you do that, your whole empire will crumble in front of you. So have some common sense and some fear of Allah when you speak of dumping your beloved mother in the old age home. I visited so many old age homes. Not one day did I hear a mother, grandmother making dua for their children. It was always cursing their children, Allah, and grandchildren. And I go with some children, you know, I say, just come, we're going to visit the mamas and the papas and appas and all. The way they hold their children and kiss them and hug them, even I start crying.
Allah.
So I ask Allah, when last your sons came? They say, that son there, I don't want to see his face, he mustn't come from a janaza.
Allah.
So what good is all that millions you made and so forth? Think properly what you are doing, O Muslim.
Someone says here, Ustad, could you please advise me urgently? My husband goes and tells his mother everything I say, even when I am angry with him. Whatever I say, he goes and tells his mother everything. Please, Mufti Sahab, which I don't like. What do I do?
Mustafa Rahmatulil Alameen Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was, is, will always be the only Rahmatulil Alameen. Surah 21, Surah Anbiya, verse 107. Wama arsalnaka illa rahmatulil Alameen. We have not sent you, Ya Rasulullah, O Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but as a mercy to the entire universe and creation. So what do we find? Surah 21, verse 107. Now he, the Master Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, said, Inna sharran nasi indallahi manzila. The worst person by Allah, as far as rank and status, is that husband who takes what happens between him and his wife, and then he goes and broadcasts it. That wife who takes the things that happens in the bedroom, and then she goes and broadcasts it everywhere. So you, brother, you are no more mommy's boy and a small lady, you know. You today are husband. Maybe you got children, you're a father. So how you can go and tell your mommy, your mother everything? You know what? She said this, she did this. In the bedroom, she did this, she did this. What, you still a baila or what? You must remember that. So you must remember, you must grow up, be a man and not a mouse. And that in Islam is totally haram to do that. وَأَخَذْنَا مِنْكُمْ مِيثَاقًا غَلِيظًا. You see, today I bought a cell phone. Today I bought a computer. Today I bought a car. Well, what are the examples I'm giving? I can just go and sell it. I can go and trade it in. I can just do whatever. But when it comes to husband, wife, we brought Allah's name. We took witnesses there. And there was a nikah, a marriage ceremony took place. So Allah calls that mithaqan ghaliza, that she took a solemn pledge from you. So in the name of Allah, you married her. So therefore, you must respect and honor all the sacrifices she made. She left her parents' home, her siblings, the place of her birth, everything, to spend the remainder of her life with you. But you turned out to be such a nimak haram and such an unloyal person that everything that happened, then you ran like a puppy to your mother and all that. How can you justify that, brother? So don't believe like that. Go and ask her for forgiveness and buy her one nice present and one nice gift. And in that way, that things will get better. Tahadu, tahabu. Give gifts to one another and that will bring about mutual love. When you give gifts to one another, it removes the malice, rancor, and hatred. Authentic hadith in Bayhaqi. Okay, Jazakallah khairan. Inshallah, that Brother Tobela will prepare the podcast and I'll send out both, inshallah. 12 to 1, 12 o'clock news, inshallah. I think it's Brother Yusuf Ali and then Abraham, the Abrahamic Accord, Maulana Muhammad Saluji. And 1 o'clock Adhan, 105 to 130, Surah Taha. And that will be verses 105 to 111, and then 130 to 2 Surah Bani Israel, verses 31 to 35, then 2 to 3 current affairs with Brother Yusuf Ali, 3 to 330, 335, the repeat of this morning's Q&A, 335 or so to 4 o'clock Surah Al Asri, Mufti Ahmad Kanpuri, 4 to 5 Surah Mu'min, Surah Saad, Moana Ridwan Kaji, Mashallah, the synopsis of it, then 5 to 7 Moana Khalid Yaqub, 7 to 7.30 will be Surah Taha, the repeat of it, verses 105 to verse 111. And then 7.30 to 8 more Yunus Patel, 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock is a nice program I see. Brother Shafat Ahmed Khan has got Maulana Zahid is there, and then that other guests are there. So very interesting. 10 to 11, Sheikh Anwar al-Awlaki al-Shaheed. So he's talk, inshallah. Barakallahu feek. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. 1 minute to 12 o'clock. We leave you and love you. Of course, tomorrow morning, inshallah, same time, same place on our program, As-Safinatu ila al-Jannah. From myself and our beloved senior fadilatul ustad, Allahumma hadina, wahdibina, wahdina sa jami'a. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.